Bonjour, je suis le grand musicien.
Je suis la jeune fille.
What is this for, like, in the middle of it?
Yeah, in the middle, we're just going to put it in there like, hey, thanks for listening.
We're not talking like that.
Okay.
I refuse to make it sound like a commercial. Yeah. You just got to tell everyone that they need to follow us on social media at PickFreaks on TikTok and Instagram, and to give us 5-star rating. You can roast us, but don't give us less than 5 stars.
Yeah.
That's all we have to say.
So just say that.
Is there
any, go.
Yeah, if you're listening,
just cut
now,
what I said and put it on there. Method. Who cares?
Muzzy now comes with 4 videos, 2 audios, a script book, parents' guide, and new exciting CD-ROM, plus this free bonus with your paid order.
Owen, did you get the movie in, the last one?
I did. I watched.
You did?
Yes, I watched. I took my hour lunch break, closed my door, watched an hour of it on at lunch on my phone.
Just imagine your feet on your desk, you know, leaning back in your chair.
Yeah. And then I got the last hour in. I got home pretty early and I had like 40 minutes to spare. So I've just been waiting to pod since. So I got the whole thing in. So I watched all of the top or all the movies that are that are up for Oscars for best movie of the year. Right? Is that there? Is
best
that
picture,
the...
yeah.
Whatever. It's a movie. Well, I call it, it's not a picture.
Damn, so how many movies is that in the last week?
I think it's 9, right? 9 movies? Well, in the last week, 7.
I'm impressed by your commitment. Let's not talk about that, because I want to get into that a little bit more on your little journey that you went on, Owen. I'm impressed. But yes, welcome to the inaugural Pick Freaks Oscar special, everybody.
Woo! Woo! We're not good at that kind of stuff.
Cut the woos.
It is the beginning of March, and Oscars are coming up soon. So in this episode, we are going to try and review the 10 Best Picture nominated movies is it 2024?
Yeah.
Or is
2023 movies, 2024
and Oscars
in 2024.
That's March, really confusing. Well, just to get us warmed up, I did want to do a quick challenge with you guys, similar to what we did with college football. Hopefully you didn't prepare at all for this.
I was going to prepare. I was going to go through and start studying stuff, and I completely spaced it.
Study what?
Just Oscar nominees and winners.
Oh.
I knew there was going to be a game, but I fucking forgot.
Owen did so much prep. Dennis, what prep did you do other than watch movies you were going to watch anyways?
I wasn't going to watch these movies anyways.
You weren't going to watch Zone of Interest? That seems right up your alley.
If it wasn't nominated for an Oscar, I'd probably never watch it.
That's a good point.
All right. Well, I have here in front of me a list that says 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022. And I want us to fill in the blanks of what movie won Best Picture in each of those years without looking it up. I did not look it up myself. I have a feeling.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Do you guys want to start from 2023 and work our way back or work our
way? Yeah, I think working back is best.
Okay. Let's work our way back.
That seems cheap or cheating.
I don't think I can do it, though, without.
I know, but that makes it more fun.
Oh, my God. I can't even think of who won last year.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm trying to buy time right now.
All I know is Parasite won, but I don't know.
That's all I'm thinking of. I was like, yeah. Parasite won that one year. Oh, I know what won. Everywhere, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once won last year.
That won last year. Okay, let's work our way back. Then you know what? Let's work our way out of order. Let's just try to fill in what we know first and foremost.
How many years? The past what years?
Starting in 2014.
2014. Oh, what the fuck came out then?
Okay, so
Dark Knight. That Dark Knight?
No, that didn't win anything.
Best Picture.
It didn't?
That came out in like 2008, dude.
All right, so we have 2023 is Everything Everywhere All at Once, a movie I hated. Walked out of the theaters.
You walked out on that movie?
Yes.
On what movie?
Everything Everywhere All at Once.
That movie was...
It was annoying. In the theaters, it was annoying because everybody kept laughing, and I'm like, this is... just like 14 year old
at me.
No, it's,
you don't,
a 14
like floppy dildos, Kevin.
Yeah,
in a movie.
I can't believe that she won an Oscar for that. Jamie Lee Curtis, is that her name?
Jamie Lynn Curtis.
Stay focused. Stay focused. All right. So, what year did Parasite win? I want to fill in that blank.
2019 is my guess.
Yeah, I think it was pre-COVID.
Pre-COVID.
Okay.
No, it's not pre-COVID.
18 or 19. It's not.
I think it's 20 COVID or 21.
Dennis, I think it's. I remember where I watched it, and it was at my. Yeah, it was definitely 2019 or 2020.
I was on a plane when I watched it. I only been on a couple of those.
Okay, the only other one I know is Green Book, because I always laugh at that one because nobody thought it would win, and then it was just like old people loved it, so it won. What year was that?
Green Book? Is that the one with? Is that, that's not Moonlight? They're both.
No. Oh, okay, yeah.
It's like, isn't it about like a driver?
Yeah, it's like it's about a driver. A white driver who, like, a white lower class driver who drives around a famous black musician during like the time of segregation and the conflicts, or whatever. But let's say that was 2017. What year was, what was the other one you just said, Owen?
Parasite was 19.
No, what was Moonlight? Moonlight must have been 2016 because that was like the year.
Moonlight won?
Yeah, Moonlight won because that was the one that won.
Did Moonlight win, though? I know it was up for it.
It won, and said La La Land.
And Green Book or whatever. Green Mile, Green Book.
Green Book won too. Okay, so 20.
How about The Shape of Water? Wasn't that one?
That one, I think, yes.
I've never seen that movie.
I watched it and I'm like, this is so stupid. It's about a.
Makes me nervous fish. About it. There, never mind. We'll get into that a little bit more. Let's stick to the game. But
all right, I put that one for 2018 because I think that won in 2018. So now we have to do 2014 and 2015. 2013, we just graduated college, so 2014 would have been
Moneyball.
Name a movie.
I know. I'm just trying to think of movies I saw back around that time.
I had just moved to New York City. I remember I saw a bunch of movies in theater that year. I saw Her. I saw. What else came out that year?
I saw Her. I saw Him. I saw Them. I saw They.
Let's think about big directors. Any Scorsese movies win? Like The Revenant? Or no, that wasn't Scorsese. The Revenant? Was that one that won?
Oh, Revenant. Good call.
Didn't he win for that? Yeah.
He's definitely up there.
15.
I think that's 15. I think that's 14, 15.
I don't know if that won. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I think he just won Best Actor for it.
But if we're close, if we got the years right, I think that's a half point. If they were up for something or we got the year right.
Okay, 2014. I just give me any movie around that time. Let's just put it down.
Well, there's The Revenant.
Okay, 2014 though. I put Revenant as 2015. Well, even though I don't think that won.
Damn, 10 years ago.
What can we name any movie that came out in 2014? Her? No. That's the only one I can think
literally
of.
Literally none. I can't think of anything from them.
What I guess I gotta gauge it by like what Quentin Tarantino movie is that around? Was that around
Django came out and like
that was around 12. Hateful Eight. No, Hateful Eight just came out 2 years
Hateful
later.
Hateful Eight was like 2015. I was gonna say Hateful Eight would be that time.
Yeah.
I don't think I can do it. Just give me any movie that came out in the teens of 2000s.
I think we're trying to.
I can't think of one.
All right, I'll just put Forrest Gump.
You give us some.
I'll just put Forrest Gump.
Okay.
For 2014. All right, 2020.
This is like a test where it's like you get a point if you know that it actually won something at some point in time.
Well, they always say it's better to answer every question, even if you don't know the answer. So Forrest Gump for 2014. 2020, what was the COVID?
It was right before COVID hit.
No, 22. So wait, does 2020 mean it won for the year 2020? Oh, yeah. So they won in 2021? It's for that year that the movie came out. So like of 2020, that would have been the 2021 one. So it would be like during a COVID time.
Yeah, it must have been
2019. And it won in 2020.
Okay.
It won in March 2020. It got the trophy in March 2020.
Yeah, okay. So that's why I always associate that movie with COVID.
All right, let me adjust my list really quick.
I think I watched it during COVID. I watched it after it won. It
has nothing to do with Asian people and COVID virus, the coronavirus thing? No. Okay.
No.
We'll see. We'll see if you're right.
I didn't think about COVID once, and I watched past lives. So.
Okay. What one? Wow. The year.
That's impressive. I bet you did though. Did you?
No, you did it I did.
Well, you thinking about
lady,
it? Now.
I think a lady was wearing a mask at one point.
Okay. Hey, so.
Okay. What movies were good in the past couple years? That's the only two that we have left.
Wait, which years do we not have?
The year 2021, so March 2021 would have been 2020, the movie came out, and then 2022, so 2021 it came Tenet. Out.
What were Tenet movies that were just, you watched, everyone watched at fucking, Tar was last year, right? That wasn't.
Did Tar win?
Tar didn't
no,
win.
Tar, no,
but
Tar
I think
was
it was
year,
with
yeah.
Everywhere, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Fuck. I really don't know.
I don't know, man. I don't
how
like
do we
game.
Not know though? Because I think what everyone basically did was watch movies in 2020. So like the Oscar move nominated movies, there's no way we didn't see it.
Okay. Oh, and just give me any movie you've ever liked.
I don't like that. I no,
any movie
can't
that
do
you
it.
Can ever think of. Just give me any movie you've ever liked. Just
so
any
many
movies. Just name a movie. Okay.
Men in Black.
Okay, oh. Men in Black 2020, and then The Matrix for 2022. Okay.
Let me Similar movies.
Really yeah, actually, Will Smith was supposed to be in The Matrix, or they asked him to. I actually just watched a little bit of Men in Black when I was on the treadmill the other day, and it was that scene where he is taking the test to get in the Men in Black, and he's trying to sit in the chair and then moves the table over, and I was really enjoying it.
Yeah. We watched that in Hawaii with the boys. Like, we had a movie night. I'm like, well, let's watch Men in Black. So
was it good? Did it hold up?
It was good. It's crazy how bad animation back then was, or whatever they'd call CGI. That green screen CGI. It's crazy how far it's come.
All right, let me run through this list. So this is what we think are the last 10 years of Best Picture winners. 2015 was Forrest Gump. 2016 was The Revenant. 2017 was Moonlight. 2018 was Green Book. 2019 was Shape of Water. Okay, we have a good run there where we actually might be right. 2020 was Parasite. 2021 was Men in Black. 2022 was The Matrix. And 2023 was Everything Everywhere All at Once. Should we backtrack it or just trust that we got it right?
We really stamped our credibility on Oscar-nominated movies for this podcast.
Best Picture winners list. Try to type this out with one hand. It's a struggle. Okay, here we go. I got a perp. Oh my God, we're idiots. Okay, I'll start with 2014. That was 12 Years a Slave. I remember seeing that in theaters in 2013 in New York City. 2015 was Birdman, the Michael Keaton movie.
Oh yeah,
fuck.
Yeah.
I saw that movie in theaters. Messing all these ones up. Those seemed older to me though. But
I know
they didn't even cross my mind, so it doesn't matter.
Okay. Oh man, there's a couple obvious ones. 2016 was Spotlight, the Boston Priest movie.
Is that one Best Picture?
Yeah, in 2016.
Great movie. I just think that that's a little bit of a stretch and like a bad for my priests out there.
Yeah. The Best Picture movies never hold up well. Like, have you rewatched any of these movies? No.
That's why I'm worried for it being my first time watching all of them. I'm nervous to which one they're going to pick.
Okay, so then we got our first one right. It was 2017 was Moonlight. 2018, we did it backwards.
It's Parasite.
2018 was Shape of Water. 2019 was Green Book. We had those backwards.
That's fair, though. Those are points. We got that right.
Okay, all right. The judges say we got
Shape
it.
Shape of Water one. What a horrible movie.
2020 was Parasite. We got that one right. 2021 was Nomadland, a movie that nobody saw.
Wow, that one?
Yeah.
Did you see it?
No, it looked so dumb.
Well, this is good, though. This is kind of shaping up of like what I
know. It just makes me mad. All the movies I watched, nothing.
As a person that watched all the Oscars now, Oscar movies now, and you see a movie like
Nomadland. Is it Nomad's Land? Or is it just Nomad?
Isn't it? Did you have any opinions about the, and you don't have to say the movie now, what it was, but did you have any opinions that were similar to this Nomads movie?
Yeah, like what one did you think was shitty, like Nomadland?
We'll get into it.
Okay, okay. All right. And then 2022 was Coda, the death fuck? Movie. It was the it's a I'm reading this book right now that talks about a lot about deaf people, and it Coda stands for Children of Deaf Adult, and it's about a child of a deaf adult.
That's so bad.
There's no way.
This one was supposed to be really good. Actually, Dennis, have you been watching Curb, the new season? The guy who directed that movie just made a cameo in the last episode. Yeah,
the movie was so good, none of us have even heard of it.
I've heard of it. And then 2023 was Everything Everywhere All at Once, a movie that I walked out of the theaters. I kind of...
out of the other movies before that, that was a much more entertaining, although it was crazy. It was different than any other movie I've ever seen.
And stupid.
But to the point where it was like obnoxious.
I'm trying to think of all those movies. I think Parasite was... I liked Parasite. Moonlight I liked. Birdman.
Birdman was probably my favorite of all those.
Yeah. All the other ones, I don't... Shape of Water, I hated.
I really liked Parasite. I did not really like Birdman. I have to give that another watch, though.
Did you ever watch the episode of Always Sunny where they kind of parodied Birdman?
I think I have.
It was called Charlie Work, and it was the episode where it was all shot in one take, and it was basically the only day Charlie has to work. And it's just him.
Oh yeah, no, I did. I have seen that.
It was a great.
Yeah, that one's awesome. When they paint Frank black all the way and put him in the basement and give him a flute to play the smoke alarm. Yeah, that show is still like untouched.
That episode was a parody of Birdman, or like supposed to be like. So that might make it appreciate it more.
Who directed Birdman? Wasn't it the guy that did?
Danny
some
DeVito.
French bullshit guy.
No,
sounds perfect for that. A French man would shoot Birdman.
Alejandro González Iñárritu.
Okay, never mind. Spanish or / Mexican guy.
Oh, he directed The Revenant.
But he's French. But he's French, right?
Yeah, he's a French. He's a Mexican French.
He's Irish.
All right. So we didn't do too well in that challenge. Oh, and are you ready to tell us about how you started watching most of these movies like a week ago and got all 10 in? Can you tell us about your journey and how the struggles and the triumphs?
Honestly, struggles were very limited. I think the biggest struggle would have been if Dennis didn't give me that link that has free movies on it. That was a lifesaver.
It's a good link.
So like mostly all the movies were on there. So that was awesome. But it was great. I am so used to watching just shit movies on Netflix, put something on in the background just because we're like, I don't know, just throw something on. And then me and Sarah are talking or texting or the boys come down. We aren't paying attention.
You're sitting next to each other and texting?
Not each other. Not texting. Oh. I meant like being on the phone. We're like, this character is crazy.
what language are they speaking?
It was really nice to watch movies that are supposed to be really good. And I feel like that's really rare. So I really think that every movie that minus maybe one or two were extremely entertaining and like it was fun to watch. So I had a great time.
Yeah. I like the Oscars. I think it is just that nominees list is always a solid starting point of movies to catch up on. So
yeah, it'd be interesting to see what the last years that we just went over, what other movies were nominated, because some of those they weren't either good or I didn't like them or I didn't even watch them because they looked terrible.
Yeah. What you have to remember is that most of the people voting for this are like 65 plus. So they are just like not looking for the same thing in a movie as you.
Yeah. And they're like dorks. Right? They're movie dorks.
Yeah, they're movie dorks. Exactly. They're people who have like lived in LA for 60 years.
Yeah, they're like, actually.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw Babylon, but that movie, it's good, but it's just like a movie made for movie fans. And it's
is that
just
with
too...
Brad Pitt?
Yeah, that was the one with Damien Chazelle, the guy who did Whiplash.
Oh, I like him.
It's a good movie. It's long, but it's like a movie made for movie fans, and it's like, it's too deep.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you guys ready to try to review all 10 nominees for the 2024 Best Picture Award?
Well, I'm curious to hear about your guys' watching experience too. Did you guys cram at all in the last like week or once we decided to do this? Or did you just go off of what you saw already and try to get one in or two in?
I just tried to get one or two in, and one was a struggle. One was pretty easy, and I'll explain it later.
So how many did you watch total? How many have you seen?
I don't think I didn't see three of them.
So I think there's nine, right? Is it nine of them?
Maybe we should pull up the list. Six?
There's 10. I have the list in front of me. I don't want to reveal it yet, but I saw, I didn't see this. I only saw 6 out of 10.
That's pretty good though. 60%. That's passing in public school, but you guys are private school kids through and through. So you failed.
My turn.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I watched 1, 2, 3 movies this week.
Wow. It's like a Dennis marathon. Yeah,
there was 2 times I watched them start to finish too. No, only one movie I want to start to finish.
Dude, that's not impressive. The fact that you have to point that out, that's common.
How many did you watch on your phone?
I watched one of them while I was actually making chicken noodle soup. It's cutting up carrots.
Yummy.
Yeah, but there was and then I watched another movie I just wanted to see like a month ago. And then I saw, you know, the two biggest ones in the summer. So I've watched 8 out of 10. Of them. But yeah, I've enjoyed it.
Okay, let's get into this year's 10 nominees. First up, Owen, we'll start with your thoughts on this one. Whispers in the Wind.
It's not on the list.
What year were you looking at, Owen?
Wait, what year were you looking at?
I know that this isn't on the list.
Whispers of the Wind, A Tale of Redemption with like Casey Affleck.
Yeah. The one in the snow and then they go to the desert.
No. It's not on the list.
Okay, I made that one up. You were not thrown. Congrats.
Is that what you said? There's 10?
No, there are 10. That was just, I added one just to see if I could catch you off guard. I asked ChatGPT to create a fake movie title. It gave me Whispers in the Wind, A Tale of Redemption.
Oh, my God. All right. So you got me nervous that as soon as you said that, I was like, fuck. I didn't see that. But I was like, no, they're fucking with me. And then... Did you and Dennis talk before that, or did you text him that you're going to try to throw me off? Damn, how'd you play that?
I don't know. I've looked at the list like 100 times.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's start with a layup. Let's talk about Barbie, a movie we all saw during the summer and did a podcast about. How's the rewatchability factor on Barbie? Have you guys seen it again? Have you been tempted to re-see it?
Barbie, out of all of these, I think has the highest rewatchability out of every movie, and I've already watched it, I think, twice. And it's a movie you could just throw in the background or watch all the way through.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I think it is the most rewatchable movie, but I don't know. The other movies made me feel something more than Barbie did. Maybe because I'm not a girl, but...
Entertainment-wise, like, you don't have to worry about how it was shot or, like, acting as much?
I don't know.
That's fair.
Not my type of movie. Yeah. The only time I watched it too, I wanted to play craps afterwards because they started advertising for casinos in it.
But, you should probably go back and rewatch it like on a legal platform.
Yeah.
I think you might enjoy it.
Barbie's a good movie, but I don't know. I'm trying to say here.
All right. Well, I'll bail you out. I rewatched it like during Christmas time and it was still enjoyable. It definitely didn't hit nearly as hard the second time around. Like sometimes you'll rewatch a movie and you'll be like, damn, that movie was really good.
Yeah.
Definitely didn't have that for me, but it's a good movie for what it is. I was curious though, like, do you guys think Margot Robbie was snubbed and Greta Gerwig were snubbed?
No, actually I have a theory about, I was thinking about this and why this movie's nominated.
Snubbed, before Dennis answers, snubbed how?
Ryan Gosling got nominated for Best Actor.
Okay.
Neither of those two females got nominated for their respective categories, Best Director and Best Actress.
Okay, Dennis, go on.
I have a question. So if this movie, you're sitting down, everything's the same about it, but you're in the movie theater, and the first thing that happens is you see a Happy Madison production. it comes up on the screen. And then the rest of the movie is the same. Is it nominated?
What are you talking about?
Dennis is talking about Happy Madison, which is Adam Sandler's production company. And they are like famous for just putting out like really like silly, stupid movies that get like 10% on Rotten Tomatoes.
All the Adam Sandler movies. Yeah, I just don't think that changes anything. You could have told me that it was a Happy Madison. I've been like, oh shit, I didn't know
I think it does. I think it does.
Happy Madison does have like a very like distinct intro with like a golf club.
I know what it is. I just didn't know what he was getting at there. I'm familiar with it.
I just think the crack screen. I just think that if a little bit of things were different, this movie wouldn't have been nominated. It just seemed like it was more of a, it seems like every year now they throw in like a cultural, like the biggest movie just because it was to get people to watch.
Right. I was going to say, that's what this seems. If they didn't throw this, all the people that don't care about movies at all or like people that don't care about music, they just care about what's popular. They'd be like, why would I ever watch this? It doesn't even have Barbie on it. Barbie was the biggest thing. That's all people talked about. Everything was pink. Every like marketing everywhere for Barbie took over the world for a whole year, which I get that point too, though. It was like it was a huge movie for the year, but best movie, I don't think so.
I think Greta Gerwig got snubbed because she took a Barbie movie and made it the most interesting movie of the year, arguably. And that is something really impressive. Yeah. Margot Robbie, on the other hand, I mean, she was a perfect cast for it, but did she do any great acting? No.
I love how we're saying they got snubbed, but they have the Best Picture nomination. What's the snub?
I forgot the question that you had, Kevin, was if they got snubbed. And I was about, Dennis,
I mean,
took it away. It's like the Best Picture, like them getting that was a reach, in my opinion.
The controversy is, why did the man?
Why did Ryan? That's also my question, too.
I think that you could replace Margot Robbie with someone else. Like I don't know if it was her. Like, to me, you couldn't replace Ryan Gosling.
I don't think Ryan Gosling should have gotten Best Actor either, though. So that's where I understand where people think that they got snubbed. So I agree with you.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know why involve any of them in the Best Actor categories. Like, it's not that kind of movie.
I have a theory why. Because he doesn't want
to. Oh my God, another fucking theory.
But I hope he wins, because we are Ryan Gosling stans here.
I think they want him to sing that song for viewers or ratings, and they're like, he doesn't want to sing this song, but if he's nominated, he has to show up, and he has to sing
the song.
No, apparently
if you win the Golden Globe, you have to sing the song.
If you win a Golden Globe?
If you win the Golden Globe for best movie, song, or whatever, you're obligated to then perform it at the Oscars. Which is why they cut to him like with a really cringy face during the Golden Globes after he won.
Oh God.
Yeah, so it does.
That is the most theater ass bullshit I've ever heard. I hate that. Sorry, I did not throw out hate right off the bat, but I really don't enjoy that. Sorry.
All right, next movie. Let's talk about Whispers in the Wind, the tale of for
I loved it. It's so amazing. The main actor is so stoic.
All right, next one. Let's get back into Oppenheimer. I have no interest in rewatching this movie whatsoever. What about you guys?
I rewatched it just so Sarah could watch it. So we watched it together.
If I had cable and it was on TNT and it was like a Saturday, I might turn it on and just be like, oh, this is the part where it. That's how a lot of Christopher Nolan movies are.
Dennis has a real, real hankering for TNT movies. Yeah. And you've brought this up quite a bit.
I know. Maybe it's just like a nostalgia thing.
It must be.
There's a big difference between like flipping through channels, watching a bit of a movie versus like, all right, I'm about to lock in 3 hours of Oppenheimer.
Like, this is a movie you want to just like pop in, see what's going on. Like, oh, they're getting to the part where they drop, you know, they do the test and then you pop out. You're never starting Oppenheimer. Like, I'm going to rewatch this start to finish, you know?
My only thing that I have a newfound respect for Oppenheimer is I now am, like, a Benny Safdie fan. And, like, just, like, when I watched that, I thought they threw him a bone putting in that movie. But now that I've seen him in The Curse, I'm like, I will watch anything this guy's in. He's one of my favorite actors. He's definitely one of the most interesting actors.
Dude, I thought the same thing. I'm like, this guy's not in Oppenheimer and in the movie Good Time. I'm like, he's doesn't seem like an actor.
He was awful in Good Time. He was so awkward. I'm like, why is this?
Yeah,
guy
he
in this
played
movie?
The handicapped brother in Good Time, right?
Yes.
God, I thought he was good. You didn't like him in that?
I just thought he was distracting.
Was he distracting because you know who Benny Safdie was? Like, say if you didn't know him at the time.
No, I was just like, this guy's like kind of too ugly and weird.
he's odd looking.
He seems like he's deaf, but he's not deaf. But in Good Time, he is deaf. But maybe that's why.
I was gonna say, wasn't that part of his ailment?
Yeah, but then every other time I see him, I'm like, is this guy still deaf?
I might watch Good Time after
that
we're done
movie
recording.
Is like
a good time.
That yeah, that's an all time movie.
Did you like him in the Higham Girls movie, Owen, the one that you really liked?
Yeah, he was great in that too.
He was good in that too. Yeah. And he was just playing a very buttoned up character and did a good job of it.
A butt character, something with just butt, but you finished it with buttoned up. And I was curious, like I got intrigued real quick to talk about butt for a second.
I've used that term buttoned up a few times. And I think the reason I described Benny Safdie as buttoned up is because he was literally wearing like a buttoned shirt.
And did he
movie,
button it all the way up?
Tie. Yeah, he did because he was wearing a tie, as one does. Dennis, you had something to say. Say it.
I was just going to say, I agree with what you were saying about him and the curse is what changed. Cause I just thought he was a bad actor. And then in the curse, he seemed like such a normal, like guy, I guess. And all his other roles, he's kind of weird. And I'm like, this guy's just weird, but the curse, like he's cool. So
I will continue to watch anything else he is in. Were there any performances that got nominated for Oppenheimer?
Robert Downey Jr. He best supporting and best actor.
Cillian Murphy.
Yeah.
And they're both projected to win.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I don't want to.
At least Robert Downey Jr.
I think Robert Downey Jr., I am not a fan of that man, but this movie, I thought he was fantastic.
I am not a fan of that man. Is that your Bill Clinton?
That is me trying to refrain from saying hate nowadays. So I did my fucking best, guys. All right.
He's got a note card of like cinnamons.
Don't say hate.
I did not have sex.
I didn't fuck Robert Downey Jr., guys.
A
okay.
Fan of that man.
No. Okay. He was really good in that movie. Because I didn't even notice that it was him. So the makeup for him was amazing, too. It took me like halfway through the movie to notice, be like, is that fucking Robert Downey Jr.? So he's doing really good in this.
Did Emily Blunt or Florence
Pugh? I don't think she got nominated. You should have, Kevin, do you have the list? You should pull up the list. Or someone should pull up the list so we have like some accurate things to go off of. I was like, I'll remember all these. But it's most of the best actors are from...
Yeah, we
best
should.
Picture.
I'll pull it up.
I'd say just best actor, best picture, best actress, supporting
best movie.
Best sound mixing for sure, because we have a lot to talk about for the sound mixing for all these.
Best Buy.
Love that
best Western.
sleep so well.
All right, so what movies are we talking about? Barbie. So nominated for Barbie. Oh, America. Beautiful.
Ferrero.
Ferrera.
Okay, her being nominated over the main girl is kind of stupid. Oh, shit, I never watched the Holdovers, too. I think I mentioned I watched 8 out of 10, 7 out of 10. I didn't see Holdovers. I'm just looking at the list right now.
All right, well, keep that list in mind. I think we're done at Oppenheimer. You guys ready for the next one? Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yes.
Just a yes?
No, yes, like, yes, that's the movie.
Any thoughts on it, Dennis?
I was going in thinking I wouldn't like it because it was so long, but I enjoyed it. I mean, I would never rewatch it, probably ever. And, like, I would watch Goodfellas a lot or The Departed. Like, this is not a Scorsese movie I would rewatch.
Interesting.
But... I do think it was a very interesting topic that I didn't know about. So I like that part of it. Like the story was good. But other than that, like performance wise.
I was trying to think back, Dennis, and I couldn't remember much about the movie at all. And I saw it 3 months ago. I could barely remember.
Three months ago, though, that's a long time for for anything, right?
I mean, the scene I know the most is the meme of who's the guy, like the chubby guy with blonde hair, the actor.
Oh, I know his name. Matt, no.
Jesse
Plemons.
Yeah, where he's like, we're just coming down here from Washington to do what? To see who's killing them or whatever. That's the line that I see the most. But yeah, I thought it was a good story.
Want to hear my favorite line from the movie? Yeah. Ask me if I like whiskey.
You like whiskey?
I don't like whiskey. I love whiskey. That's such a dumb line.
I was going to say, I really hope but you Leonardo, don't love that line.
But Leo DiCaprio's like delivery of such a basic joke was so good that it was my favorite part of the movie. It's just like Leo DiCaprio can make like the stupidest little dad joke and just make it so watchable and entertaining. But I agree with you, Dennis, though. Movie was very long, but based on like how I had prepped for it, like I'm like, okay, I'm going into a 3.5 hour movie. This is going to be terrible. This is going to be terrible. It didn't feel 3.5 hours.
I am with you, Kevin. I had a lot of mixed reviews going into, I was not going to watch this movie for the longest time because I've heard so many people disliked it and some people kind of liked it. So it's nice going into a movie with low expectations. Because whenever it's high expectations, it like never, ever delivers. So I like this movie a lot. I was shocked how much I liked it. So Leo, I feel like, plays the same character very often, but just tweaks the character a little bit. And I think that's what he did here. But I think he did fantastic. It's like hard to judge him because he's so, or like judge him poorly because he's so good.
One thing this movie got right, which is like a gripe for me with movies, is a lot of times you'll have an actor playing some poor person and their teeth will be like perfect veneers. They gave Leo DiCaprio bad teeth in this movie. And I'm like, thank God, because it can be such a turnoff for me. Like, this person is supposed to be playing a 1930s depression person and they have perfect teeth. Come on. Yeah.
Dude, the best. Oh, shit.
Sorry. I was just going to say the people nominated in this movie, Lily Gladstone and Robert De Niro.
I'm surprised De Niro got a nomination. He didn't really seem to do anything that groundbreaking. I think
he was the best actor in the whole thing. Like, to me, last time I saw him was in The Irishman, where he looked like he's just like phoning it in. This movie, he seemed to actually be acting more. You know, I just feel like, I thought he's more like an old man now, but he's back, baby. De Niro's back.
Speaking of De Niro, he has a movie coming out probably in the next 1 or 2 years that was filmed on my block in Cincinnati. So, like, remember, you know that little block I used to live on, Dennis, downtown? There's a bar connected to that building. It's the oldest bar in Cincinnati, and they filmed most of it at that bar. So he was just, like, wandering around Cincinnati. I kept looking for him, but I'm just really excited to see that movie now.
It's crazy that it takes that long to come out.
Before we get into all of this, how do you guys normally like rate movies just overall? Like, this is good. Or are you breaking out into different sections? Like, cinematography was really good, so I rate it this way. Or do you not get that granular?
I would say it's a guttural reaction. If it makes me feel, it doesn't matter what makes me feel, if it's the music, if it's the acting, if it's the comedy, like if it makes me feel something.
Yeah.
I'll give it a 10 out of 10.
I used to be that way, and then it was like I never knew what was really giving me like high ratings for a movie, so I broke it down just to things that I think I like, which I sent you guys a text like to do one on acting, cinematography, music, and just overall
acting
entertaining.
Is so hard though, because like how do you define good acting?
There's some really shitty acting, you know, so like you could tell when it's really good.
There's a movie we on this list where I hated the whole movie except for the actor, which I think made me really like the movie. So that was the only thing I liked. But I'll talk more about that.
I would say that for the most part, it's really acting, I think, is just more about getting the right person and the right role.
One more thing about Killers of the Flower Moon, that their opening scene when they strike the oil and that music that plays with it, that's... Here, can I share my screen and do it or no?
Yeah,
because that part, like right when I started the movie, I was like, oh shit, this is really fucking good. Is this showing? Wakanda. Is it showing?
Say Wakanda.
Wakanda forever. Okay, let's get to the oil part. Oh, damn, this is far on. Oh, right here is this part.
Owen's now like the master of sharing the screen. He's got the shit down now.
This music that goes with it, I was like, fuck, this is the perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
this is good. This is really,
this part
really
of the movie, when this first came up, I was like, dude, this movie is going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah, you're bringing me back.
Scorsese. I'm surprised he still has it.
Right. So I thought that part of it really started the movie off strong.
You just won me back, Owen. Congrats.
I may rewatch that movie.
But that
now,
gets back to
scene.
Music. That is why music is so important in movies. If you have really good music, it's going to make or break a movie just for me.
Okay. Two more things on Killers of the Flower Moon. I'm glad I didn't see it in theaters.
You'd be peeing way too much.
Yeah. And it was another movie where I couldn't really follow the timeline of what, like, years and what's happening. There's another movie on this list where I have that same issue. But let's next talk about Poor Things, a movie I had not seen and a movie that I will never see because I hate this
fucking
director.
I cannot wait to hear Owen's opinion on this because I have pretty harsh opinions on this movie too.
What did I say earlier about what I can't say hate? I'm not really much of a fan of this movie. What?
No, you can use hate for this guy.
Ever. Like, I really did not like this movie. Out of acting was the only thing that was okay, but they literally had to make she had to act like, lack of a better term, at the beginning of the whole entire movie. I was like, she's too.
Can't think of another term. You literally used handicapped earlier.
Cut it, Kevin. I can't be out there. I just needed to tell you guys that.
It's
but
so
you
funny because you can just tell you just want to say it. It's not like lack of a better term. It's like, I just want to say this word.
That might be true.
Benny Safdie gets handicaps.
All right.
Emma Stone.
All I'm saying is like, at first I was like, this is actually really good acting. And then I'm like, I could easily act.
No,
like
her
that.
Acting was horrible.
That's and after that, I was like, that's the easiest role to play. Play a really stupid person that doesn't have to think.
Can you guys give me like a 20-second synopsis
of
what this movie
Emma
is about?
Emma Stone, the original character, she tried to commit suicide. Then this crazy Frankenstein doctor pulled her out of the water. She was pregnant with a baby, took the baby's brain out of the baby, put it into her head, and she was like born again as an adult that had a baby brain, so she taught him. Then she got really into sex. It was all sex. It was softcore porn the entire
She's
movie.
She's naked like the whole movie.
So.
How'd she look?
You have to see for yourself, Kevin, because that's going to make you watch the movie. The way it's shot is so stupid.
It's like, very they use a lot of like what are those cameras skaters use where it's like fisheye lens.
But it wasn't fish. It was like hotel people instead of fisheye. Yeah. Fisheye is actually good, but it was still blacked out on the
outside. And the movie. So the movie's set in like a weird sci-fi world where things are like everything looks like a set. It almost looks like a play.
Yeah,
like, the way that. It's set up.
It was Cat in the Hat with sex.
So,
and Frankenstein.
So this movie took me 3 days to watch, but the first hour and a half, I'm like, oh god, this movie is just because she was acting like a kid, and it reminded me of my kids. And I'm like, this is exhausting. Like, I just got away from my kids. I got to watch her act like a kid.
Yeah, it was frustrating.
But she basically gets smart, really smart, like really fast. And Mark Ruffalo's in it. And I think he's the best actor out of anyone I've seen.
Yeah, Sarah said she loved Mark Ruffalo that whole movie. But
he was fun. Yeah. Like, he's the only reason this movie, it ended up to me being good because of him. Like, he was funny. And
Mark Ruffalo Mark Ruffalo bangs Emma Stone. Isn't that weird? That's a very weird thing for me in this movie. Those two together? That's a weird thing.
Why?
He's so old. And she's like,
he's
what?
Not that old. Like, what? She's 35.
And, she's like 30.
And Hollywood, 20, yeah.
20 years is 20 year difference. That's a big jump.
It's not that weird in Hollywood. Jeff Goldblum is 76 and just had a kid.
That's fucking weird.
Hollywood.
No, but this movie, I've seen other, this guy's that directed this movie, like The Lobster. That,
yeah, I didn't like
the premises
one.
Of his movies are like so interesting, but it's like, I want to make them so fucked up and different that you just, I don't know. It's like he thinks it's art.
Yeah.
But it's boring.
It's
so much going on and it's boring.
This
Owen just took a swig of water from something that looks like when like a cartoon character is in the desert. You know what I'm talking about? Like one of the circular tumblers.
Like a canteen. Like
a cartoon character.
I put it back in my stick and bindle.
He's on his donkey. He's actually right,
can we stop?
Shaking it out. Can we wrap the last drop?
Can we wrap up Poor Things? It seems like Dennis liked the acting of Mark Ruffalo, didn't love the movie. Owen didn't like
it's
anything.
Just great. So the way that last year, how Everything Everywhere All at Once won, I have a bad feeling that Poor Things is going to win because it's so fucking crazy and out there.
It doesn't have the diversity factor that Everything Everywhere had, though.
True. No.
Yeah.
That movie was like a very political.
No, this movie was... if it wins, I'd be upset too. Because it's
the
like,
only part that I really enjoyed was at the end when they made the one guy a goat and he like went. Oh,
Kevin, it's Marnie's boyfriend from Girls.
Yeah, he's in it for like 10 minutes, and it's all the way.
He's
at
a good
end.
Actor.
He's like,
I know.
The
as soon as he
husband.
Came, as soon as he came on the screen, I was like, oh, I like this guy.
Actually,
yeah, he's a great actor. He's in a movie with. Wait, is it the guy from The Bear or the other?
No.
Marnie's the guy that boyfriend. Quit.
The guy,
quit Girls.
The first boyfriend. Yeah, okay. He's in a movie with Gerard Carmichael. That's really good if you guys haven't seen it.
Oh, and the funniest line is definitely the, he has cancer, you fucking idiot. Remember that line?
I don't remember that.
Okay.
It was really hard to pay attention to that movie.
That movie definitely got better as it went on.
I agree. The whole storyline was like, okay, that wasn't terrible, but overall, just like a real fucking hard movie to watch.
Just too much sex. Like, too much.
It was too much sex.
What? You guys are going
on. Is that why Kevin? I thought
movies.
Kevin's like, don't talk about it. He's waving his hands in front of us, like, stop saying sex.
I've tried like 5 times to segue out of this movie, and you guys clearly are starting to like it because you can't
I'm actually
stop
watching
talking
it
about it.
Here's my problem is like I have a real problem to talk about things I hate more than I like.
Yeah, Kevin. The whole time about this podcast, I've been thinking about this movie to talk about.
I'd say here. I wanted to spend a lot of time talking about how fucking bad it was.
How
and Kevin
it was.
Didn't. Kevin didn't watch it, so he doesn't want to talk about
I was
it.
Like, move on.
Boring.
We've also spent
this
a lot of
the movie
time
when
about
I was
it.
Making chicken noodle soup. I watched.
All right. Do you guys want to go back to Poor Things later?
Maybe.
Okay. All right. Next up on the list, The Holdovers. Dennis, you didn't see this movie? Oh,
yeah,
you saw
Kevin,
it.
Kevin, I want to have hear your take on it before I give mine.
Before I saw it, I like the director. It's Alexander Payne. He's the guy who did Nebraska, and he did that movie Downsizing with Matt Damon, which I think is a really underrated movie. I saw it in theaters.
Is that When They Get Smaller?
Yeah. I thought that was an underrated movie. Did you see that one, Owen?
No, I've been wanting to watch it. It got bad ratings, so I didn't. So I will give it a good watch.
It got really bad ratings, but very entertaining movie. But no, I went to the movie theaters and saw this, and I knew it was going to be a snobby movie. I saw it. It was 100% like a snobby movie. It's like a prep school movie. And I always wonder, like, who the fuck is this for? Like, what percentage of the country knows what it's like to go to prep school? Like, we went to Catholic school, and people think, like, I always try to describe, like, what Catholic school is like. I'm like, it is not, like, a fancy thing. It's just, like, our parents, like, paid the minimal amount for education.
Like, the schools were actually worse than the public schools, like, the actual facilities.
Yes. And, the teachers, like, got paid less, and they always think it's, like, they always go, ooh, you went to Catholic school. I'm like, no. Like, my parents just forked over money for, like, worse education.
I think it was, like, $1,500 a year when we went.
Mm-hmm.
Not that expensive.
Yeah, so I always try to explain that to people, and they don't understand it. Like, this is a prep school movie. This is like the richest of the rich kids go to these. And I went to the theaters, Owen, and people were dying laughing at this movie. Like, it was fucking Dumb and Dumber. It was fucking Step Brothers. And I'm like, who are you people?
That is bizarre.
That's Kevin. Yes. It's funny because I don't want to watch this movie for those exact reasons, where it's all like this fucking humor that's just like unrelatable. And I'm not a big fan of Paul Giamatti. I'm sorry.
I have a take on that. I have a note here that I liked the main actor, like the 17-year-old kid, but Paul Giamatti I don't like. And I think that's the point of Paul Giamatti. I think he's supposed to be unlikable, and he's very good at doing it because he's got a punchable face. He's very like snobby, and yeah. So I think by you not liking him, he's doing his job. But Owen, I liked it. I thought it was like a cool setting. I thought it was like a cool time capsule of the early 1970s. Yeah. It reminded me a lot of Inside Llewyn Davis. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie. Dennis, have you seen that one with Oscar Isaac? That's one of my favorite movies.
Is it set in the 70s?
No, that one's set in like the early 60s, like during like the Bob Dylan era.
No, I mean The Holdovers.
The Holdovers is set in the early 70s, 1970. It's just like more of like a, I can imagine being at the school like during the winter and being there like when everybody else is away on Christmas break and you're stuck. So I enjoyed the setting. I liked the movie. I don't think it should win Best Picture.
I think you watched it in the worst atmosphere to watch this movie. At a theater is not, I feel like this is like an at-home movie. Because I remember you told me about how you didn't like the movie and you thought that when you first watched it, you said that it's like too smart, or like you did the beginning started out that way. And at first I've heard other people really liked it. And then it started off where they were talking like the most complicated words. I'm like, I'm not going to get this movie at all. So this is way above my head. But that stopped like 10 minutes in, and I loved this movie. It was so good. I think that Paul Giamatti was amazing in it. I didn't particularly like the kid though.
Oh no, I thought he did a good job.
All right.
For somebody, there's
someone
that know.
He reminds me of someone that used to work at my facility. So it just maybe that was part of it that was weirding me out. But overall, I'd say like out of being entertaining, I give it a 10 out of 10. I thought it was really entertaining story, and the music was incredible. That was the best music ever. They had Cronbin in it. They had Damian Gerardo. They had you'd know those songs if you heard them. I think it was really good music, and the way it was shot, I liked. Even though everything is fucking shot that way now, it seems like all A24 movies are on film rather than digital. I really enjoyed it. So
damn you!
I'd give it a watch.
You make
Dennis.
Me want to watch it.
Dennis,
I have Kevin's opinion, and I feel like the music. I do like good music in a movie. Like
this is a perfect movie. I wish I watched it around Christmas time though, because there's Christmas parts of it, and I'm excited to watch it next Christmas.
I would say that, Dennis. Like, pull it up during Christmas time, during like the dead of winter, and I think you'll really appreciate it too. Yeah, just in the winter. Watch it during the winter. Don't watch it during the summer.
Get it done right now. Like, I just watched it the other day, and it held up. It was really good. So,
well, at the end, I want to, because the three movies I haven't seen, I want you guys to vote which one I watched before the Oscars. So,
all right. Well, let's get to the next one that I haven't seen, which is, I think, maybe the front runner for best movie of the year, Anatomy of a Fall. Can you guys sell me on this movie?
I enjoyed it. It reminded me a lot of the what's that drinking movie that we watched?
Another Round.
Yeah, Another Round. It has nothing to do with that, but I got like similar vibes of that. Just the way they talk, and I mean,
they're talking a foreign language. That's it.
Yeah, but it's a courtroom drama, and I don't know. I enjoyed this movie a lot, and I didn't think I would.
Can you sell me on it more? Because I still can't really understand it.
They have a metal drum version of P.I.M.P. by 50 Cent in the movie. And I think that was the only good part of the whole entire movie.
You didn't like any of it?
Did not enjoy this movie whatsoever.
Whoa. Okay. I'm going to sell you on it now.
Sell me, Dennis.
Sell me
We're
on
give
it
you
or
whole...
sell Kevin on it?
Sell you on it. Oh,
I saw it. What are you talking about?
I would reverse it.
Okay. So are we like in a courtroom right now?
Yeah. Kevin, think about, have you seen Marriage Story?
Love that movie.
I also didn't like that movie. So
that's what it's basically about. But the husband dies.
It's about the movie Marriage Story?
Yeah, two people watching it.
Pretty good. I know, pretty good.
Is that how you watch movies? No, but just like a very complicated couple, and the guy dies, and they basically have to prove in court that she didn't kill him, because all these situations happen, and they have a son that's blind, right? Yeah, blind. But it's a courtroom drama. It's like a Marriage Story courtroom drama, and it comes to a head when they find the recording and all this sort of stuff.
Wow, yeah, Dennis, you really resold me on that one.
Yeah, what did you like about it? Was it the vibes, the dialogue, the subtitles were really interesting?
No, I just like just in the story, like, you're like, is this person the shitty person in the relationship, or is this person the shitty person? And then you kind of think about it, and you flip-flop, like, the whole time. Like, who's the shitty person?
I feel like I never flip-flopped that whole time.
Who did you think the shitty person was?
I felt like I knew that she didn't do it the entire time, but not to give anything away.
Oh,
Kevin.
I didn't even think it was about, like, who did it. Like, I didn't even feel like that. It was just, like,
but that was
fighting and, yeah, I don't know.
It sounds like maybe Dennis has been in a relationship longer, marriage longer, that he can maybe relate
about
to it a
killing
little bit
more. His spouse?
No, but it's the fact that she's like a famous writer, and this guy wants to be a writer, but he's like a stay-at-home dad because he almost killed his son in a car accident, and he felt like bad about it. And he's like, "You never let me do anything." Like, I want to go write. And she's like, go write, go do it. I never said stop. And it's like these self-contained prisons that they're in and they don't realize they're in, sort of thing.
Yeah, I do that. I do that to myself all the time.
I think I would like this movie, Dennis. I do. I think I just have to get over the foreign language part of it.
They speak
and
English most of it.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Is there any other good element to it? Like music? I guess that PIMP thing sounds interesting.
It is strange because he blasts a song. And it's like constantly played throughout the movie.
Yeah. But it's a metal drum version of it.
Any final takes from you?
Yeah, I sent in the chat. Do you guys remember? Look at the chat. Remember when people used to do that?
Yeah.
They'd write pimp. But they'd use brackets. That's all I was thinking when this song came out. I was drawing pimp like that. And I texted it to Sarah in the middle of the movie. I'm like, hey, look at your... Well, I guess we do text during movies. Because I told her, look at your phone. And it was just that. And I really enjoyed that. And that's like all I could think of the whole entire movie. Was how that used to be typed out all the time on people's aim away messages or their buy or whatever they called them.
I just imagine Owen like at work on a meeting in the chat of the thing, just practicing this, how he can form the letters here.
Owen's just sitting there during the meeting, writing like that S that like,
yeah,
you know, the S with
down.
The three lines.
Down.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to the next movie. I think this is one that I saw, Owen saw, Dennis did not see. Let's talk about my boy Bradley Cooper in the movie Maestro.
Dennis, did you get it in or no?
No, I didn't.
Ooh. Okay.
Sell me on it.
You
come on.
I want Owen
okay.
to start.
So the weird thing about the Oscars right now is two movies that are up for it. The first like third of the movie is in black and white. Yeah. So Poor Things, it was in black and white, and Maestro is the black and white, and that
Oppenheimer.
Oh shit. Yeah, it's why oh. is that? That's such a strange thing. I really don't I don't like that part about
it. And Zone of Interest.
It may be a way to appeal to different generations. Like you're like trying to appeal to people who like really old movies, and then all of a sudden you like slowly like reel in people that are more
it's
interested
just like
in like
timeline
newer stuff.
Based. Which I guess you said that the people that are deciding what movies are good are 65 plus. So
yeah,
they might
yeah.
be like,
well,
oh, this reminds me of.
Oh, and this is the other movie where I couldn't follow the timeline for the life of me. It like starts with him at 25. Then all of a sudden he's like, I couldn't even tell you. He's either 60 or 30. Yeah. Like I had no clue what was going on timeline wise.
Yeah.
I will say when it started off, I was like, I cannot wait for this movie to end. Because there is some musical aspects to it. Because the guy that the movie is based off of is he was writing musicals and he is a composer. Right? Is that what they're called? Or I guess he's a maestro.
he was a composer. Yeah.
Conductor. Sorry, conductor. That's what it was. So.
And he like wrote West Side Story. So he like is also just like a famous musical writer. Yeah.
Bernstein. What's his name?
Leonard Bernstein.
I will say that Bradley Cooper fucking crushed it. He was so good, and I think that he needs to win Best Actor of everything.
He definitely should win Best Actor. Good. He poured his heart and soul into this, and based on everything I've heard about his prep for it, like this is like his.
If he doesn't win, he might, you know, might quit or do something.
I've
drastic.
Seen clips of this, and I'm like, he's putting a little too much. I felt like it was too much effort into it.
You have to watch it. I think he's a little like he's pretty like sporadic throughout the beginning because he seems like he's got high energy, and that's probably just how the person was, who the main character was.
The clip I saw, he's like conducting an orchestra, which he probably does a lot.
And those parts didn't really stand out to me. I didn't love the movie. It was one of these movies, Dennis, where it took me 3 days to watch it. You know, 35 minutes here, 45 minutes here. And I didn't appreciate any of it until about an hour 15 in the movie, where I started to really understand the storyline. So just to give you a quick synopsis, Dennis, it's basically about this guy. He's a composer, gets a huge opportunity to become the biggest composer in the world. All of a sudden, like skyrockets to fame, falls in love. He's also like gay or bisexual. He has an opportunity to become the biggest composer in the world, picks a wife that he's in love with, and you know, they get married, have kids. I don't know. I don't want to spoil it for you, but just like, it's just about this relationship between a very complicated man and his partner who, and that I don't want to spoil it for you, Dennis, because I think that relationship is so interesting that it's worth a watch.
I think, Dennis, you should give it a watch. It was a very, I think it's a very good movie, but I'm with Kevin where it was really hard for it to keep my attention, especially at the beginning. But once it turned from black and white to color, and then it kind of changed the trajectory of the movie, it was really entertaining. There's a part where he is conducting in a church.
Yeah, I think choir. I've seen a scene of that.
That shit was like incredible. That was such a good part of that movie that I was like blown away at that. So that part was, that was awesome.
Oh, and just early take, Holdover or Maestro?
I will save it for the end of what we're going to do for our, whatever our ratings are, but also Carrie Mulligan, she also was in Drive, Ryan Gosling's the girlfriend. She's in this. She also, I think, should win Best Actress.
She nominated?
Is it supporting or is she Best Actress? Like both of them.
She should
like,
be Best Actress.
So
she was the main. Yeah.
Good. It was such good acting.
So Maestro, I think he's the only one nominated.
I actually, and my problem with that movie is I thought she was a really underserved character. Like, they almost just made her kind of a wet blanket. And I'm like, this person probably has so much more. Like, they kind of just, like, showed her as, like, the guy, like, the girl that, like, is harshing his vibe all the time. I'm like, she must be so much more interesting than that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that maybe it's just because they were trying to shoot it from the Maestro's. But I don't know the guy's name.
Dennis, I'll just summarize it as this. This movie is about an extremely talented, childish man, and this woman is there to like keep him level-headed. And it's good. It's going to be a tough pill to swallow, but it's worth a watch.
I think you watch that all the way through. I think it's a very like high contestant for best movie, and this was probably the like one movie I was looking forward to the very least.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Same. All right, Owen, let's really quick, before we get to the next one, you're Leonard Bernstein off. Let's do our impressions.
I can't think now. I had it earlier, and I can't.
It's really nasal.
I know. That's what I was like, I'm stuffed up right now, so I figured I'd be able to be good at it.
I'm trying to conduct the nasal orchestra tonight.
I'm trying to conduct the orchestra.
For lack of better terms,
what I'm trying to do is try to get through this podcast so I could conduct the rest of the
That was bad too. I like how you're going cross-eyed.
I think you get the point.
Yeah, what are you looking at?
We're not doing poor things, Kevin.
Okay. All right. Dennis, did you see Past Lives?
Yes, I did.
You did? Yeah. Wow. I didn't see it. I saw 20 minutes of it. Oh, and you obviously saw it. What'd you guys think of Past Lives?
I'm like, this is going to be the worst movie, but I really liked it.
I really liked it too.
Yeah. I was thinking about what actually happened in the movie, and it's just people talking the whole time. And it's really.
That actress is really good. Everything she's ever been in, Greta Lee,
I feel like she hasn't been in anything other than Russian Doll. That's all I remembered her.
She has small bit parts. She's in like New Girl, and she's in like a lot of sitcoms and random shit. And I think Girls.
There's something about Korea that I really am fascinated about. I don't know why. Like, I think it's because it's like looking at America, if America was in Asia, because it's like the most Americanized.
Dennis, because Korea is basically like they just admire America so much, so it's almost like if you took everything America is and put it on steroids, that's what Korea is, because they just like are mimicking it.
I don't know. Is that true?
Well, it's
with all your travels out there, that's what you got out of it?
No, it's because the U.S., it was North Korea versus South Korea, and the U.S., there's just a lot of U.S. influence because of the military.
Okay. Oh, yeah, like your grandpa.
Yeah,
he was in Korea. Oh, I remember Korea. Yeah. Whatever it was.
There's a whole thing, Owen, about like how all the Korean women
try to get surgery to look like that. I thought it was a really entertaining movie. It was really good. I liked the story behind it. I think that was the biggest part of it. And it's any movie that's like shot in New York where it's like on there, it's a good setting. So it's hard to fuck up a timeline when you have
the best opening to a movie, like to get you hooked right away.
Yeah. Yeah, they did good.
I saw the opening of the movie and I wasn't hooked. I was
really
just...
the bar scene where they're like, "Who's this guy?" Like,
that was interesting. Because
me and Sarah, I'm sure you guys do this too when you're out. You're just like, "What are they talking about? Let's build a story around these people."
No, it's high on my list to watch. I just wasn't in the mood for subtitles when I started watching it, and I just never finished it.
It got really interesting when she's basically comparing this guy from her past life and then her current husband, because she like doesn't, and she like meets someone else or whatever, not to spoil it or anything, but, and she just compares like the culture of Korea and like US and sort of thing, and it's interesting.
Well, let me ask you this question. If I had to watch one, Past Lives or Anatomy of a Fall, which one first?
I'd say Past Lives.
I think you would like Past Lives, and it's only an hour and like 40 minutes, so it's a lot more easy to watch.
It's an easy watch, and it's good, the whole thing. Yeah. It's just the fact that you have to read subtitles is the
You lived in New York. Like, I think you'd like
it. Perfect for Kevin.
I know I'll love it, so I'm going to
I think you'll like it a lot, Kevin.
You guys want more on, or should I go to the next one?
No, it was a pleasant surprise.
I've heard that, and I love a good, like dramedy kind of movie, like is what you call it. Dramedy is probably my favorite category.
No comedy at all in the movie.
Oh wow, so just pure drama.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I want to talk about, I think my sleeper favorite movie, American Fiction. A movie that Owen just binge
watched on his phone. Just done.
I want to describe how I watched this movie. I went to the theater alone. At 10 p.m. at night, not only was I not with anybody else, there was nobody else in the theater. They actually don't sell alcohol at that time, so I had to sneak in some alcohol to drink while I was watching it. And I actually found a new interesting drink. You get a giant fountain soda of Coke Zero, and then you put in some white wine.
Ew, Cali Ocho,
dude.
Yeah, it was surprisingly good. I can't explain why.
Just more sugar with I'll pass. But I'm glad that you enjoyed it. That's really nice.
Thanks. I'm not selling it, but it was just surprisingly refreshing. Maybe it's just because I love Coke Zero, and then you add like any alcohol to it. It's just like, okay, great. But I went into this movie with very low expectations just because I thought it was going to be like in your face, like white people are racist. Like, and I heard the whole plot on NPR and I was like, all right, I get it. But then I saw this movie and it was so much like deeper and complex than I could have ever imagined. And Dennis, I think this is what sold me on it, or I'll sell you on it right now. I would describe this movie as a movie about white people problems starring black people. Does that make sense to you, Owen?
Yeah, it's tough to get, like, I agree because I saw it, but it'd be hard to for Dennis to like,
I don't get it.
Without watching it.
It's like imagine like a movie about like, oh no, like my brother's gay and my like doctorate degree and my writing isn't like working and nobody wants to buy my book, but it's starring a black person. You know?
Okay.
Because usually that movie is like you picture like The Holdovers, or it's like some snobby movie, and it's just like kind of
because I know the guy writes a book like as a parody and it people like
but
it.
Yeah, but he's also but he's like a very pretentious black guy, and it's like almost just like it's really hard to explain, Dennis, but it's so much more interesting than it sounds
He was good. I thought that it was just going to be like too woke.
Yeah, exactly. But it wasn't woke. It was very level.
This is good. So I really like that movie, but
yeah.
It's funny that you what movie did you just say you brought?
Holdovers.
Okay.
Holdovers.
So, I was going to say this movie reminds me a lot of the movie Sideways, where it's like this pretentious wine drinker, which is Paul Giamatti, which I was like, Holdovers and American Fiction are the most similar movies that are together, but are like much different. I don't know how else to explain that. It's like just two pretentious guys that have like this like high self-worth and like that they're better.
Yes.
And it's a good movie. The whole thing, it's entertaining. I was shocked that I liked it because this was the second to last movie that I wanted to watch behind Maestro. So, and I was also pleasantly surprised.
Oh, and I think we're on the same page. I think we like a good movie where like it's like self-awareness about pretentiousness, because I can be like an incredibly pretentious person, and it's just like, but to have a self-awareness about it is so relatable. Yeah. The only complaint about this movie, Dennis, I don't think it's a very bookish movie. Like you really have to like, it's like a lot about books and you have to really understand the like state of books right now.
You don't think I know books?
You know, I think if you have a very surface level of state of books, like be a badass boss, like you're a chick, but you fucking rule. Like types of books. That's all it is. I don't have a state on books, but that's what they're trying to get across and how those are the top sellers and those are sellouts when actual good literature isn't moving the needle.
Yes. And I'll describe it this way. Like I was in like a book group at my work. Like we had like a book group chat and everybody would be like, oh my God, I love books so much. I read voraciously. And then they would like share the book they just read, and it would be like that one at Target that is like plastered and it has like the stupid like like cover, and you're like, oh god, that's like a book for like 12 year olds, and like, and it's all about like that.
Yeah, that sounds very pretentious.
It's like mainstream music versus underground music, same level. Yes, it's like exactly. That's what's on the radio. Exactly. You think that's the best? That's garbage.
Okay, Owen, I have one quick question before we stop talking about American Fiction. What do you think of Sterling K. Brown?
What? Sorry. Kevin asked me a question, Happy Sarah. Friday. You interrupted. You better come in. Well, I can't reach there.
You should watch it.
Sorry,
Dennis.
Guys.
It's all good.
You know better.
He's potting.
Oh, no. He's pulling out a belt. Oh, my God. This is so awkward.
Come here. What? Oh, okay. We'll talk later. What was the question, Kevin?
What do you think of Sterling K. Brown?
Which one is that?
He plays the brother in the movie, the gay brother.
I don't think anything of him. That's the first movie I've seen him in.
He's in a lot of things.
I didn't recognize him very much. I think he was a good character, though, in that movie.
Yo, yeah, very interesting character. He's in a lot of stuff, so I'm surprised you haven't seen him. He's in
so much stuff. I can't even remember.
That movie? What's that TV show he was in? This Is Us?
Yeah, This Is Us. And he's been in like 100.
I don't know. I like the main character. He's not. He does not. He's
the guy
also
from West
up for Best Actor, which
I like that guy.
Should not even come close. Should not touch like the other guys that are up there, in my opinion.
He's not that good of an actor.
He was good, but it wasn't like best. Yeah,
it just wasn't acting.
It wasn't
yeah.
the best. So, very good movie though. Really entertaining.
Yeah. All right. Last movie, and I
last
have
movie?
To correct myself. Yeah.
Really.
What
I
other
think
two?
He's got a last movie.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. Last, Dennis must think of Super Mario Brothers. It's like, it's a me, Mario. I thought Mario was really captivating.
Trolls 3 band together. NSYNC comes back together at the end. Owen, you like music?
Okay. I have to correct myself because I think this is the front runner for best movie. Or maybe it's a competition between the two, Anatomy of a Fall, but the other one is Zone of Interest. And I was this movie was described to me and it sounds fascinating. I just have no interest in watching it. What'd you guys think of the Zone of Interest?
I loved it. It was it's my number one movie. It's my front runner. And I think I have infatuation?
infatuation
with World War II and everything that has to do with World War II. And this is about the Auschwitz camp in Poland, or the SS the guy that was leading the whole entire camp. It bases his life around.
So the way it was described to me, Owen,
much better than I could do, I'm sure.
It's basically like if you were to focus on the real housewife of the person who is running Auschwitz. Yeah. Like the housewife is just so like in love with their life and like just loves like the yep. lavishness of like being in charge and like having a beautiful
yeah.
house and a beautiful yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it, because the main guy that runs it, he doesn't have much to say, or they don't. God, there's so much to it. But that's a good synopsis.
It is it's probably the most unique movie I've ever seen, where the whole movie, so they live like right against the wall of the Auschwitz camp, and the whole movie, it's like, this house is awesome, they have like a sweet life, but the whole movie you hear sound in the background of like people going ah, and like pow, 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 and like
screaming
shots in the distance, and they're living like this, like, you know, American dream, whatever,
lavish
German dream life there. And
yeah, they're and having they, like and, family reunions, kids over all the time, playing in the garden,
and
swimming
it,
in the pool.
It made you feel uncomfortable because you're like, oh, wow, they're living like a normal life. But then they just randomly will talk about how they're purchasing a new gas chamber and this will kill this many people this quickly and sort of stuff. And then they live back to like a normal sort of life.
So this movie doesn't tempt me at all, because I do agree that premise is super interesting and the sound thing sounds really interesting, but like it just sounds kind of surface level. Like somebody came up with that concept, they delivered on it, but like I don't think I need to see it.
I think
like really appreciate
it. But like the shots that they do, I feel like are way different when they do like this like full zoom out. You know when you could go point 0.5 zoom on your phone where it zooms out further.
Yes.
No.
This is director talk. Okay, let's get
right. You're
this.
Taking a pic, so you're going to frame something. So you go like this, then you take your phone out, and you can put the 0.5, and it zooms out. I don't know how to explain this.
Lens on his phone.
Okay, can I ask
no,
a different question?
Let me get through this.
She's still talking.
It is. It looks so cool. Like it's zoomed out really far, and they'll show these. Just these like
it's almost like a fisheye lens,
but like better, but not like on four things.
Yeah,
they'll do that, and then they'll have full like blank screen where it's either full black or full red, nothing going on other than sound.
This movie,
and it made you feel like, fuck, what is happening right now? And yeah. There's a part where they turn it negative where it's just
like thermal.
Yeah, thermal camel or thermal camera.
Okay, so let me interrupt you. So it is a spectacle. It is something that, like, I don't just need to hear the concept. I have to see and hear it too.
Yeah, it'd be better if you didn't hear anything about it though before you went in.
Yeah,
it.
I didn't. Know
so I don't know. If,
yeah,
I think if you get sold on it, it won't be as good.
It's it. I feel like it held my attention more than like any other movie. It was just so interesting. Just
and it's all subtitles, right?
Yeah, but I mean, there's not much talking. Like the talking doesn't even matter. Really, it's just kind of like. Yeah, it's very strange. I don't know. It's
just interesting.
It's a movie too where you don't. There's no character you're like rooting for or care about. No, like
you could tell that like the main guy's bad, but you don't notice see any like, bad things that he's doing because they never go into the actual into Auschwitz. It's all outside of Auschwitz, so it just seems like a normal life.
Have you seen Schindler's List? Oh, no. Have you seen it?
Damn. Yeah.
I feel like this movie, like that movie didn't do much for me, but like this movie, I felt like actually
humanizes the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay. Like I felt something like, wow, that was fucking horrible.
And if you read into the guy of like how many murders he was responsible for.
So this is
and there's a
guy.
Scene near the end of the movie where they have the museum and you're just like,
oh yeah,
holy fuck. This guy was terrible.
Oh, okay. So I think Megan is the one that was describing this movie to me, and she didn't understand that scene. But now I understand it in my head. I don't think I need to watch this movie. I think I get it now.
I think I think you should watch it just because I think it's probably it's got a high potential to win.
I think this is the most unique movie out of all of them.
I think it should win too. Yeah. And if like Poor Things fucking wins over this, oh I will.
God. They can't do that. To 2 years in my. A row.
I do like Mark Ruffalo in that movie. I think he was the best actor out of anyone.
All right. That's fair. Let me ask you one question. Is there any
nudity? No.
All right, I'm out.
Honestly, is there not any? I think there might be some.
Of people alive, Owen, okay?
All right. Oh, yeah. No. You will. You might like it. I don't know.
I might like it. I don't know. That sounds okay. Is there any... Is this like a little bit of a... Is this pure just like historical significance? Or is there like a little bit of like commentary on gentrification? Like, is it almost like these people... Like, think about it this way. Like, the richest people now like to move to like the shittiest parts of town. And like, they love their new townhouse with like all the greatest amenities. While like, meanwhile, like somebody can be completely poor.
Yeah.
Living next door and you're almost just ignoring it.
I think it's they're all the only people that live in that area are workers at Auschwitz. So it's
no, but
all
it is kind of like what you're saying where it's like they live in this is my blissful life but over the like wall are people getting fucking murdered and stuff and they just act like this is the most beautiful place I've ever lived in and it's like
so here's these
can ignore that shit.
But here's the thing. Did you read into any of it?
No, I just
at all. So like supposedly his wife only heard rumors of what's going on in there. So it's kind of like she turned a blind eye, didn't know exactly what was going on, even though she said I could turn you into
ash. That's an active choice to turn your mind off of that.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people just like were like, I get everything I want. Like why do I care what's going on in there? We're living the best life out here. I'm not going to worry about what's going on the other wall or other side of the wall. And I think that they portray that pretty good in the movie where she's just like, I don't care what's going on there. I never see it. It's on the other side of the wall. My wall is tall enough.
There was one character in the movie where they like maybe this person does have some sort of morals. But which I liked. I mean,
Hoomst.
The grandma that left.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sold. Like this sounds like it should win. It sounds like by far the most interesting story, the most interesting cinematic and sound experience. I'm not completely deterred from my theory, though, Dennis, because like I really do think like I work in like a gentrified office where like there'll be people shooting heroin outside of my work. And it's like almost like my, I can't think of what I'm trying to think of. It's like my property is, their property is not my playground kind of thing. It's like, I feel embarrassed that I like work in a bad part of town. Cause I'm like, this is not, I don't know.
I think working somewhere is a lot different than living though. Like I wouldn't feel bad about that.
Yeah, it's, I mean, okay. You're doing okay, Kevin. Don't let him get you down.
This sound like, based on what you guys have said and what I've heard already, this is the best picture of the year.
I think so. Dennis, I don't know if he thinks the same.
I think,
but you haven't seen all of them.
That's true. So Owen, you think Zone of Interest number one?
I think so.
What's your number two?
Do we want to go through our number, like our top ones? Do we want to do top three that we think should
why
win?
Doesn't everybody list their top three and then we'll try to settle on one?
Okay.
I could start. I would say my top three are Oppenheimer, Killers of the Flower Moon, and I'm biased, but American Fiction.
Okay, my top three, Zone of Interest.
Are you saying that just because we try to make you say it? Because you didn't seem sold on that like 2 seconds ago.
No, Zone of Interest is in my top three.
Am I doing number one? I would say, yeah.
Okay. Oh, right? I just listed a general top three.
Okay. This is my general top three. Zone of Interest. I feel like Oppenheimer would be up there if I didn't.
It doesn't have the recency bias, yeah. But that movie was fucking great. Don't forget
that. Yeah, and I saw it in theaters. I'm going to say Oppenheimer. And then Anatomy of the Fall are my top three. Okay.
So I will say that I recently rewatched Oppenheimer with Sarah, like probably less than a month ago. So I think comparatively, I don't think that it would be top three for me. But I have Zone of Interest, The Holdovers, and then tied is Maestro and Killers of the Flower Moon for my top three.
I have not seen Zone of Interest, but from what I've heard about it, I am willing to vote for it for the best movie of the year. It sounds fantastic.
It's definitely
rock,
the most
rock the
like,
vote, Kevin.
it's such a weird movie. Like the contrast, like I never noticed like a contrast of things, but like it's like right in your face sort of contrast.
Yeah, and it makes you feel fucking like, oh, I don't know what the fuck to feel. You're like,
this for a movie I haven't seen to make me think this deeply, that's insane. And I haven't even seen the other aspects of it. Like, I haven't heard that sound. This sounds fascinating.
It's the least boring. I would say there's not one moment in this whole movie where you're like, I'm bored. Like, it's just,
I think we should call it. I mean, the only thing that would throw me off is like if it was a Green Book situation and The Holdovers ends up winning.
Dude, I'm worried it's gonna be Poor Things. Oh, I really God. Think I, that they might be like, it was so wacky, like,
yeah, no, I put hope them not.
Everything Everywhere All at Once won the last one. But the thing is, Poor Things, I feel like there's been similar movies that are wacky and weird like that. That they're like, this is
Shape of Water was also wacky and weird, right, Dennis?
Yeah, it was.
That's why it might kind of reminds me of that's why things. It might fucking win. Fuck, and it similar. Sucks. That is on my bottom three is Poor Things, Anatomy of Fall. And just because of how I rated stuff, American Fiction also falls on there. But I'd say out of entertainment wise, like American Fiction is probably my top two. Like,
yeah, and I just don't think that's a movie for everybody.
To win the actual best movie, I don't think it's going to go there.
I don't, honestly, though, American Fiction is the only black movie.
I know.
It could win because of that.
I think Oppenheimer is going to win.
Oppenheimer is going to win.
I don't know. I'm pulling for Zone of Interest based on everything.
Also, Oppenheimer got pumped for a ton of hype, and then I don't think it lived up to
it. It peaked too early. It peaked too early. Also, just
competed with Barbie.
I don't know that scene where they're the nukes dropping and they.
It's not what Safdie puts on the sunscreen. That part was sick. That was the best part of it when he put the sunscreen on. Yeah. But outside of that, but Kevin, guys, what were you saying? You want to call it?
Let's call it. Let's pick a movie. My vote. I haven't even seen it, and I think Zone of Interest should win.
I think it should win. I don't know if it will win.
I think it should, and I think it will. If it doesn't win, it's going to be beat out by Poor Things.
Okay, say this too. And I think Poor Things, based on what I've heard, is the worst movie of the year, should win a Razzie. And if it does win, we should make some kind of pact. Like, we have to, like, do something. We should all have to, like...
I think the last 45 minutes of Poor Things I enjoyed a lot.
Doesn't matter. It's a bad movie.
Doesn't matter.
Nope.
Your opinion's wrong.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Try again.
I don't know. I think the main thing is, though, all these movies are probably worth a watch. Give them a watch. Yeah,
that's the nice thing about Oscar movies. Like, every time you go in, you're like, this movie's going to fucking suck. But it's always like,
they were all good.
It's actually, that was, yeah, this is
like I said at the beginning, this was such a treat to watch all of these and be like, damn, every single one of these movies was good.
It's kind of funny. It makes you realize, like, you could probably go back, you know, 100 years and watch every Oscar nominated film. That's a lot of good films.
What is this for, like, in the middle of it?
Yeah, in the middle, we're just going to put it in there like, hey, thanks for listening. Don't forget.
We're not talking like that.
Okay.
I refuse to make it sound like a commercial. Yeah. You just got to tell everyone that they need to follow us on social media at PickFreaks on TikTok and Instagram, and to give us 5-star rating. You can roast us, but don't give us less than 5 stars.
Yeah.
That's all we have to say.
So just say that.
Is there
any, go?
Yeah, if you're listening,
just cut
now,
what I said and put it on there. Method. Who cares?
Muzzy now comes with 4 videos, 2 audios, a script book, parents guide, and new exciting CD-ROM, plus this free bonus with your paid order.